It's about 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, April the 18th. I'm Joy Cardine, and you're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. The minimum legal drinking age in this country is 21. It's been that way for the past 20 years or so when the federal government decided to deny states federal highway safety funds if they had a lower drinking age. So how's the 21-year-old drinking age working? Critics say it's not really, and it should be lowered. We read about a new movement to lower the drinking age back to 18 on Reason Online this week, and we thought we would talk about it, and we wonder what you think. Should the drinking age, the legal drinking age in this country or in this state, be lowered to 18? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. One of the organizations in that Reason article is headed by our guest, John McCardle, former president of Middlebury College in Vermont, and he is director of Choose Responsibly. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is Choose Responsibly?
Well, I need to begin just by making a slight correction. Our organization's name is Choose Responsibility.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And we're that new, and so people are still learning about us. That's quite all right. We just unveiled our website, www.chooseresponsibility.org, and certainly invite people to come there to learn more about us. Basically, what our purpose is to stimulate a public discussion of the very sort I hope we can have in this next hour. About the effects of legal age 21. The changes that we propose, we believe, ought to be a consequence of that discussion, but at this point, we think it's time for the public to reengage the question and look at the record of just what legal age 21 has and has not accomplished since it was passed in 1984.
Well, what has it not accomplished?
Well, the original purpose for the passage of this law was to address the problem of alcohol-related traffic fatalities. And the chief advocates of this law was a then-new organization, and now, of course, very well-known organization, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. An organization, by the way, that has done a great deal of good in educating the public over many years about the risks of drinking and driving. But the facts show that the number of alcohol-related fatalities had, in fact, begun to decline even before the law was passed, and that they have continued to decline in all age groups ever since that time. Interestingly, the highest number of alcohol-related fatalities now is at age 21, followed by age 22, followed by age 23. So it would appear, at least, that the more important aspect of this issue has to do with the age at which one is first introduced. And our organization believes that age 18 is a far better time.
Why?
The reasons for that, I think, are compelling. The first is that our laws and our society have defined 18 as the age of majority, as the age of adulthood. When you turn 18, you can vote, you can sign a contract, you can serve on a jury, you're liable to military service. In short, you are an adult in every respect except this one, this only one. And on this point, the laws say, no, you are still a juvenile. You are still a child. We think that does nothing but encourage the very sort of infantile behavior that the law suggests will happen. And that is the reason why I think we have not seen much of a reduction in actual alcohol consumption among the 18 to 20-year-old group, but we've seen it move behind closed doors and underground. And the problem of binge drinking, I think, is a very, very direct result of the raising of the drinking age. That's a very serious problem. Lives lost on the highways are precious, of course, but lives lost to alcohol in more clandestine settings are no less precious, and we need to pay attention to that and consider whether 21 has been a factor. I also think that this law effectively disenfranchises parents. The place where one ought to learn about alcohol is in the home. But laws saying that one can't purchase, possess, or consume until age 21 prohibit that. Now, yours is a very enlightened state, and I understand that there are exceptions in the Wisconsin law that permit exactly that. I'd be interested in hearing from your listeners whether they believe that has had a positive, a negative, or a neutral effect, because it seems to me that the people who throw up their hands in fear about what might happen if we allow young adults to consume in the presence of their home might be addressed by what the Wisconsin experience has been.
Yeah, I think there's, if I'm not mistaken, in Wisconsin, a parent can purchase an alcoholic beverage even in a tavern for a minor.
Yours is the most liberal, I think, of all of the 50 states on this issue, and I think we need to look at how that's worked and see how harmful or positive its effects have been.
Well, we're going to check our weather forecast, and then we will welcome in listeners to talk about whether or not we should lower the drinking age. Our guest says yes, lower the drinking age from 21 to 18. John McCardle is the former president of Middlebury College in Vermont and director of Choose Responsibility, a group that advocates lowering the drinking age. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org, including your first name and your community. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 17 minutes past 6 o'clock right now. Hoping you'll stay tuned and join Ben Marins this afternoon. Between 4 and 6, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben will talk with the author of a new expose, Charging the Credit Industry with Predatory Practices. He talks with the author of Maxed Out, coming up after 5. We are talking with the director of the new group, Choose Responsibility, John McCardle, a group that, as it says in its mission statement, is here to stimulate public discussion about the presence of alcohol in American culture and to consider policies that will effectively empower young adults age 18 to 20 to make mature decisions about the place of alcohol in their own lives. Talking about a new national effort to lower the legal drinking age in this country to 18. And before we go to the phones, and our lines are full, as I suspected, Mr. McCardle, what is the process or the plan that your group has out there to start this effort to lower the drinking age?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I think it allows me to clarify something that I think is often misunderstood about our effort. Yes, we do believe that the age should be lowered to 18, but we also believe that that requires several specific things to happen. The first is Congress decoupling the Federal Highway Fund appropriation from the right of a state to set the law. And secondly, in return for that, the state's developing a way to educate young adults about alcohol. Our proposal suggests that a program of education and licensing that would be available to someone upon completing high school could be a very effective way to educate young people with an in-home component, because most 18-year-olds are still at home, that would lead to the possession of a license, allowing one to purchase, possess, and consume, heightening the awareness of alcohol prior to the opportunity to purchase or consume, and at the same time, we believe, placing alcohol education where it belongs. It's rather odd, I think, that mandatory alcohol education now exists only for those who have already been convicted of DUI. Mm-hmm. Seems to me education should take place a lot earlier than that.
Yeah. So the federal action that would be needed at first would be this decoupling of the highway funds, that then states, it could be up to the states to develop this plan if they would so choose.
That's right. No state is going to take the time to consider the drinking age anew in the face of that incentive.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to me that way back 20-some years ago, Wisconsin was one of the last holdouts in raising the drinking age, and it was that those federal highway funds that pretty much forced all states to do this, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And in fact, a group of states, I believe Wisconsin was one, appealed the law to the Supreme Court, and the court upheld the Congressional Act by saying that it is clearly the constitutional right of the state to set the drinking age. This law does not, in the court's view, abridge that, because you may still set it wherever you like. you just forfeit the highway funds if you go below 21.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones and go first to Tina in Oshkosh. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning. Well, I would like to mention that I am a parent of three teenagers, and our oldest is 17, soon to be 18. And I disagree with the idea of lowering the drinking age and choosing responsibly. In fact, I wouldn't be opposed to changing the age of majority to 21 for most instances. What we have found in our family and among our friends is that our kids are not entirely enabled, and some of this is even physical with brain development, to make the well-thought-out decisions that are required to reduce impulsive decision-making and think through decisions that affect, you know, immediate and long-term consequences when using drugs or alcohol. I still agree that, you know, teaching should happen in the home. My husband and I entertain frequently. We travel frequently. Our children have tried alcohol with us, though not in any kind of excess. And they have role models. None of our friends drink and drive. None of our friends drink to a serious excess. But they understand the social aspects a little bit better and have role models. What we have found, though, is that a lot of them and kids a little older than them do make poor impulsive choices when partaking in alcohol. Mm. So we would like to avoid that and maybe help them grow a little longer before they make those real serious decisions and have the power to make those decisions.
Yeah, the brain isn't an adult yet, John McArdle. What do you say about that?
Well, the researchers will tell you that, in fact, the brain is not adult until 25. Mm-hmm. One of those researchers is a member of our board and has said that if public policy were to be based only on his research, then the law should be raised to 25. But he says for a whole host of reasons, that's not going to happen. The position that, and I don't want to put words in this particular scholar's mouth, but I think that the position that one ultimately comes to in considering brain development is that excessive use of alcohol is going to have neurological effects, effects on the brain at any age. Excessive drinking, excessive consumption of alcohol is not bad only for those who are 18 to 20. Education is a far better approach, and I think your listener's call makes that very clear. I think what she has described with parental involvement and supervision and with modeling responsible behavior concerning alcohol is something that we believe our proposal would accomplish and which in the vast majority of states right now the current law prohibits. The reality is that alcohol is present in the lives of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. And the second reality is that prohibition doesn't work. If that's the case, then our goal should be to create the safest possible environment for that reality to occur. And that environment can't be one, shouldn't be one, of prohibition, because prohibition doesn't work.
Tina, thank you very much for the call. Let me go next to Randy in Ridgeland. Hi, Randy.
How do? Yeah, I'm all for lowering the drinking age. A little short history of drinking age in Wisconsin. Way back before my time, the drinking age was pretty much measured by whether you could see over the top of the bar. In the more recent times, when I was growing up, it was a split age. There were beer bars at 19 and then hard liquor at 21. I think that was primarily to keep the... you know, an attempt to keep alcohol out of the high schools, more or less. And then of course, it went to 18 towards the end of the Vietnam War, where the premise was made that, well, if I'm old enough to, you know, kill somebody, I ought to be old enough to drink. But I primarily what I've seen in that time frame now is that kids are kind of, well, they're essentially what they're doing is learning how to drink from their peers instead of from their parents.
And that's a bad combination for anything you do. People should be learning from an intergenerational setting, specifically from their parents. And their parents should be setting ground rules and, well, not so much ground rules, examples, you know, good examples for how to do this. And when they're drinking at 21, that just doesn't happen. So I'm personally kind of happy to be living in Wisconsin here where we can, as parents, serve our children, you know, alcohol one way or the other, so we have this controlled setting.
Yeah, and even in, though, Wisconsin, Randy, we hear about all the binge drinking going on college campuses or in the cornfields or anything else. So why do you think that's happening if we have that opportunity in Wisconsin?
Mostly, people don't exercise as much around here, for one thing. But in the 70s, for instance, that was, you know, it was pretty normal that people would have, kids would have beer parties and parents would... get a keg, set it out in the cornfield so that they didn't do any damage to anybody, you know, take all the keys and that kind of thing. So you had more more settings for small experiments instead of major ones,
right?
Like we're seeing on campuses now.
I would think, John McArdle, that you tend to agree with Randy that kids today are learning about drinking from their peers and not from their parents.
In most states, that's the case. And even in your state,
right,
it is only in the presence of the parents. And so if a parent is not present or if the young person is not at home, that person is breaking the law. And so the binge drinking consequence that you inquired about a moment ago is really no different in your state from most other states where the reality is present, but the law pretends that it isn't.
Right. In fact, we're often at the top of the list of binge drinking being a problem in this state, especially. And I know they always talk about underage drinking too.
Yes.
So, all right, Paul in Jefferson. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My original question was about, you know, the beer bars that they had, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, which the last caller addressed. But my other question being is, what kind of effect do you think this will have on spring break? Do you think it'll make it safer for kids, or less kids will be traveling, less people will get hurt, or if it's going to cause more problems?
Well, that's a question that no one can answer with certainty, but I can speculate. First of all, I'm, as a believer in education, I have to believe that the more we know about a particular substance and its effects, the more responsibly we're likely to behave regarding it. Secondly, the more responsibility we confer on young adults, I think the more likely they are to return that to act on that positively. And the third really is that the current situation can hardly be held up as an example of the best we can do. Legal Age 21 has been on the books for 22 years, and we should look around us and see where we are and what the situation is and ask ourselves whether we're satisfied with the level of behavior that we're now seeing. I don't see how anyone could be, and I think a change of the sort we're proposing is warranted.
We will talk more about lowering the drinking age to 18 after we check the latest news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Wednesday, April the 18th. And we're talking with a guest about a new movement to at least spur discussion about lowering the drinking age from 21 to 18 in this country or in the states that choose to do so. 1-800-642-1234. Do you think this is a good idea? Or should the legal drinking age in this country stay at 21? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. John McArdle is our guest, former president of Middlebury College in Vermont, director of Choose Responsibility, a nonprofit organization that, among other things, is spurring this discussion, this effort to lower the drinking age. And Tom in Burlington is our next caller. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
My niece has a house in Burlington, Vermont. It's a very beautiful state.
Thank you.
One of the problems that I've noticed in trying to get 18-year-olds to vote, the voting age is so there were only 17% of them voted last in the last election, is that 18-year-olds, there's no rite of passage in our society between being a teenager and being an adult. And if somehow, you know, this will, allowing people to have a glass of beer in a tavern, will give them the feeling of responsibility, well, I am an adult now and I can do these certain things. And what this idea of breaking the law, it seems as if we have so many, we're training our children to break laws before they're even young adults. I mean, the drug thing and the alcohol thing and the buying cigarettes somehow if we could tie in maybe voter registration, you have your voter registration card to go into the tavern and get a glass of beer. And on the other hand, some of these taverns are not responsible for over-serving people, and I think that should be looked into also, along with the education thing. And I'd like some of your ideas on this.
Sure, Tom. Bars are held responsible, though there's a law that would prosecute them if they serve booze to a really drunk person.
I know they have Dram Shop in Illinois, but I don't think they have it here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. I thought they did. But anyway, John McArdle?
That's a really interesting suggestion, and I need to think a little more about the correlation between voting turnout and other ceremonial or ritualistic acknowledgments of adulthood. But I do think your caller makes a very, very important point, and that is that parents, and for that matter also colleges and universities, under the current law face an impossible dilemma. Either looking the other way, knowing full well that violation of the law is taking place, and communicating as a result that if you don't like a particular law, it's okay to break it, and we need only to look at the percentage of young adults who have said that they have tried alcohol before turning 21 to get some idea of how effectively this law is actually working. Or the other choice is to say, nope, in this household and on this campus, the law is going to be enforced vigorously. In which case, we as parents and we as educators know perfectly well, if we believe that prohibition doesn't work, that they're simply going to go someplace else, less safe, less regulated, to obtain it. Which is better? I think it's an impossible dilemma, and I think we should reassume our own parental and adult responsibilities in bringing the younger generation to a more mature understanding of alcohol.
Well, let's say, Mr. McArdle, that the feds do decouple the highway safety funds from this issue of the drinking age, and states have this opportunity to lower their drinking ages without losing this federal money. And Wisconsin says, okay, we're going to do this. But then Wisconsin's got an 18-year-old drinking age, and all the surrounding states are still at 21. Doesn't that set up all sorts of problems of the bloody borders and such?
Well, that has always been a concern and was a concern back in 1984 when the law was changed. The unpersuasive but true answer is that those who cite that as an issue, really their argument is with James Madison and not with me. The federal principle, in fact, has laws of all sorts different from one state to the next, and why should this be an exception? But the more substantive answer involves the fact that over the last 25 years, we have become far more aware of the risks one takes with drinking and driving. And there's no reason to suppose that knowledge and those concerns will suddenly, miraculously disappear on the day the drinking age is lowered. We will continue to need to remind people of that problem. But I think it is not certain. And in fact, I'm not sure it can be. It's a matter of even reasonable probability that if some states change and others don't, there will be this enormous increase in the number of drinking and driving fatalities.
We go next to Clyde in Eau Claire. Hi, Clyde.
Hi. Yes, this program this morning is very timely. It's been on my mind a lot lately on the ludicrousy of the drinking age, and I've observed it over the years, and it should definitely be at, well, either 18 or 19, because, face it, these people are adults at that point. They're out of the home. They're either working or away at college, and they're oftentimes living on their own. And what happens, and I observed this with my own nephew in the past, they have the house parties. And, of course, who's going to go to those parties? Not the 21, 22-year-olds that are out socializing with other adults. it's the younger ones. It's the 18, 17-year-olds are going to these parties, and you're forcing drinking down to an age of 16 and 17, because what happens is that any time someone can drive then, they go to these parties where there's somebody that has an apartment or a house, and they're 19, 20 years old, and there's a higher percentage of binge drinking going on at that time because of that situation, and you're taking the age group of 16 and 17-year-olds, putting them into groups of 19 and 20, and this is male and female, so I wonder where the teenage pregnancy rate comes from, you know, because you've got, I'd never seen that when I was 18 and 19. We were out socializing with other adults in establishments, but we didn't have 16, 17-year-olds coming out and partying with us, where that is very much the case at these house parties. You've got 16, 17-year-olds socializing with the 19, 20-year-olds because you're telling them people that they can't go out to the bars and be an adult. Yeah. And that's pretty much my point on that.
John McArdle?
I think that's another excellent point. You know, most other countries in the world have long since figured this out. The only countries with an age as high as 21 are Indonesia, Mongolia, Palau, and the United States.
Is that right?
That tells us something, I think. And it suggests, and those countries where it has been 18 or lower don't seem to have anything like the problems with excessive drinking behavior, underage drinking, and many of the other problems that your listener just identified. Nor do they exhibit serious issues of generational brain impairment, as some of the people would try to scare us into believing. So I think we need to consider this question from the point of view about what is it about the United States that makes us so exceptional that we require an age higher than that of just about any other country in the world.
Mm. What about this? Clyde said it too. Well, lower to 18, he said, or at least 19. That was a big debate back in this when these laws were changed, because the 18-year-old is still in high school. Does that make any difference?
Well, it could. And another aspect of our proposal acknowledges that distinction by saying that upon turning 18, one would be allowed to consume in the presence of parents in the privacy of the home, but not until finishing high school could one qualify for the license. Mm. We also think that the incentive of the license might very well have a better effect on underage drinking, because if you stay clean until you're 18, you qualify for the license. But if you violate the alcohol laws before that time, you forfeit your eligibility for the license. Driver's education is a good model here, I think. We don't seem to have an epidemic of underage driving. And I think that a part of that, at least, has to do with the incentive of obeying the law and getting the license when one achieves the right age.
Our guest is John McArdle. He is director of the new group Choose Responsibility. And he is it's a new national group that wants to bring back the legal drinking age of 18, wants to lower the legal drinking age from 21 to 18. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 13 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, we will talk with two guests on different sides of the gun law debate that has been reignited, sorry for that, after the massacre at Virginia Tech University on Monday. Should we have stricter gun control in this country or not? Should we have concealed carry laws that extend to college campuses? Those are some of the issues being brought up in wake of that tragedy on Monday, and we'll talk with two guests about it after 7 o'clock. Our next caller on an effort to lower the drinking age, the legal drinking age in this country from 18 to 21, is Jerry in Manitowoc. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you, Joy, for taking my call. I'm coming into this a little bit later, so forgive me if I'm repeating my perspective. And I appreciate John's approach to this. However, working at a private small college campus in Wisconsin on this issue, my experience has been is that many of the college students coming in see it as a rite of passage. And even though education is utilized in our approach to this issue, their developmental, psychological, emotional development is not what it used to be. In fact, some of the research is showing is that the emerging adulthood stage is now being pushed back about age 25, where it used to be 18, along with seeing a lot of other college students, many coming in with existing mental health issues that are being treated, but they also cope with that with alcohol. We're seeing a real change in the generation from even 10, 15 years ago to what we're seeing today. I think your comment about why the United States has such a difficulty with this is that we're a culture of excess. And that is particularly true with college students. It's a very difficult transition and an emotional transition, and they're looking for a way to cope with that, and one of those is alcohol. And education would be great, but we're also in a state of very high tolerance for alcohol. And even their parents aren't educated on that. And I think there was a very interesting comment yesterday on yesterday's program about the massacre that we're seeing a change even in family structure. And how is that going to be included in this process? And the money and funding and support for this would be tremendous at a time when funding is being cut across the country on this issue.
Yeah. Well, we certainly did touch on the issue of brain development, but lots of people probably joined us in this half hour, John McArdle, if you want to respond again to
sure.
that.
Sure. Well, first on the funding mm-hmm. question, and that question does come mm-hmm. up regularly. I think, just to go back to a point made earlier as well, when we look at what we are spending now on mandatory alcohol education for those who have already been convicted of DUI, we can legitimately wonder whether if we simply redeployed those dollars earlier and before young people get in trouble, we might not cover a significant portion of the cost of a mandatory alcohol education program for all 18-year-olds, and I think we could. I think the way in which your caller describes the current generation of college students is very accurate. That condition is going to prevail, however, whether the drinking age is 18 or 21 or 25 or whatever it is. Our proposal won't change that condition. And so I go back again to what I think is a very simple and, in my view, compelling point. If alcohol is and is going to be a reality in the lives of these young people, our choices are either to try to prohibit it, which doesn't work, or to educate in the responsible use of it and bring its use back out in the open. And it seems to me that most thinking Americans, given that choice, would opt for the latter.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Kevin in Canton, Minnesota. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I would just like to say that I'm 26 myself, and I'm currently going to community college part-time, and most of the guys in my class that I've known for about 2 years now, I mean, they're mostly under 21, and some of them have been to Iraq, the ones that are over 21, but they all drink, and they're mostly good guys. And also, we had an exchange student from France a few years back, and he just thought that drinking in this country was a forbidden fruit. And he did see all the binge drinking and whatnot going on, and said that wasn't really so much of a problem in France because you know, anybody could buy and drink alcohol. But that's really all I had to say about it.
Yeah, well, thank you for adding that, John McArdle.
There's really not much to add. Mm-hmm. I think your caller makes a very good point, and I would simply agree with what he says and about the differences and the similarities he points out.
Yeah, thanks again for the call. Patrick in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. I had some similar experience to that last caller in that I was an older student at a public university. It was really found myself often thinking, you know, and sort of overhearing discussions around me about the drinking activities that people were involved in, that it would be that I would kind of want to say something to them about how, you know, once you're of legal age and once you are drinking among older people, you kind of sense more of a respect for the actual dangers, not only of specific drinking behaviors, but also of alcoholism and the way that it can damage people's lives. I tend to think that if people around, you know, if teenagers in particular have their first drinking experience in the presence of slightly older people who have gone through that first initial excitement with drinking and have seen some of the harmful effects that it can have on people that they know, it sort of helps temper that enthusiasm a little bit. You know, not so much necessarily the guidance of parents and educators, but the guidance of role models who are just a few years out from where these first drinkers are.
A reaction, John McCardle?
Well, I can, again, respond to that by recalling, as I'm sure many of your listeners will recall, when the age was 18, and if you were on a college campus, social life was very different. No, it wasn't perfect, but it was out in the open, and alcohol was a part of that. A faculty member could have a student to the house for dinner and serve a glass of wine and model responsible behavior. And social life on campuses didn't require an elaborate curriculum of alcohol education because leadership by example was part of what took place naturally. All of that is gone now because the law has banished it. And I think that you know, your listeners who have said repeatedly, and I think it's a strong theme coming through in this conversation, that both given the responsibility to act like adults, 18, 19, and 20-year-olds will, and given the responsibility to model responsible behavior, older adults will.
Yeah. Let's go to Bob in Rhinelander. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. I've been a big fan of yours for many years since you were back on television in Warsaw, however many years ago that was.
Don't hold that against me.
Well, we didn't think you were as smart then as you are now.
But thanks a lot.
In any event, getting to the issue here, it seems like an odd issue to be raised by a former president of Middlebury College. That is to say, I'm wondering what Dr. McCardle's interest is. How much funding does he receive from the liquor industry? Or what is his real motive for being involved in this? To me, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. I don't see any problem with this. I don't regard it as a hugely important issue one way or the other. I don't think society is going to crumble if we bring the legal drinking age back to 18 or leave it at the 21. I think more or less it's a statement that society makes that, for the most part, this isn't good conduct. We don't want to encourage it. Now, you can certainly argue that we don't do a great job of enforcement. There's a lot of things we don't universally enforce. We don't universally enforce the laws prohibiting kids from smoking under 18. At least until recently, we didn't do a very good job of that. Now we're doing a much better job. But the idea that, well, prohibition didn't work, that would mean that we wouldn't have any drinking age at all. And maybe we shouldn't have any age to prohibit smoking. And maybe we should just permit sexual contact among 13 or 14-year-olds, because God knows it goes on. With Dr. McCardle's logic, why we would just abolish all of those laws, because that's prohibition and it never works. That's a foolish attitude, in my opinion. I think this is an issue that society ought to speak with the voice that this is primarily deleterious conduct in terms of our health, in terms of public safety issues about car accidents and other bad behavior, and I'll leave it at that and take my answer off of the air.
Thank you very much, Bob, for the call. John McCardle?
Okay, real quick. First of all, we have not accepted a penny from the beverage industry and won't, so we can put that one to rest right now. Secondly, my motives are prompted by my own experience as a parent and as a college president, and I would summon to my side of this argument former Secretary Joseph Califano and Professor Henry Wexler at Harvard, both of whom have done studies of this issue, and each of whom claims that this is perhaps the most serious public health crisis facing our country at this time, binge drinking. This is all about bringing up the rising generation of leaders to behave responsibly and to have respect for the law. They don't have respect for the law because they are routinely violating it. They don't understand why the age of majority should be abridged. We should stop treating them like children and treat them like the adults they are.
Yeah. The less than a minute to go. Are you going to be, on Capitol Hill twisting U.S. Representative Tom Petri's arm from Wisconsin on the Highway Committee?
Well, I've certainly spoken with the congressman, and I know his position on this, but we're a ways yet from even considering even proposing legislation. Ours is an effort to get the public involved, and we think that if the grassroots demonstrate that this is an issue of concern to them, the politicians will take notice. And I think this conversation this morning is an indication that the issue does resonate and the conversation needs to take place. I would just direct your listeners to www.chooseresponsibility.org to learn more about us and about this issue. And I'm really grateful to you for giving me the time to speak with you and with your listeners.
Well, you're right. There was a lot of interest in this issue, as indicated by our callers. We thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
John McCardle, former president of Middlebury College in Vermont, director of Choose Responsibility, a group that is pushing the idea that we should lower the legal drinking age in this country from 21 to 18. We thank Leo Duran for producing this hour and Karen Prager for on-air production, and we thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.